Doing good. Welcome everybody to Voice of Believers Church, Wednesday night edition. We're going to get fired up on the Word of God, praise God. I feel a lot better after praise and worship. Hallelujah. I got my energy back. I don't know about anybody else. Got energized again after praising Jesus. We're going to do a tithes and offerings. That's the amazing thing about the Word of God and singing. The anointing comes and it energizes you. And I'm just like, thank God for it. I ate a bunch. I figured I'd be tired than I am. Thank God for it. Our text is out of Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Thank you, man. Coming up, we get that. Appreciate it. Anybody needs an envelope, raise your hand. Those young men will get it to you. I'll start over on Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this very day, praise God. As it is this day, praise God. This is a covenant. We have to remember, this has got to be our anthem. Our anthem has got to be, we got to remember that the Lord, our God, who gives us this power to get wealth. That's actually, every good thing we got is coming from the Father of lights, from God. Hallelujah. Every good thing that we got. So as tithers, you know, 10% or in offerings on top of that 10%, you're covenanting with God. You're saying, you're my source, God. My treasury is in bank accounts in heaven, praise God, like it says in Matthew. My bank accounts in heaven, where it's not subject to fluctuation of depression, inflation, or thieves and everything else, you know. You don't never know. You don't even know if the FDIC can cover your money here in the United States. You don't know, you know. There you never have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it because you're a tither and an offer, and then you got this, and you establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as this day. You're establishing his covenant. You're part of that covenant. You're doing his will. And I'm telling you what, when you need something, you got a heavenly bank account you can make a withdrawal on. And the Bible says over in Mark chapter 10 that you get a hundredfold return on your giving. If you'll believe for it, like I said over in Mark 10, you can get a hundredfold return for every dollar. That's $100 in your bank account. Give another dollar, you're a constant tither and you're in tithing. That's another dollar, another $100. Multiply. Now, you can even believe for more than that. You know, you can even believe for more than that. Praise God. But, I mean, that's the least you ought to be believing for. It's at least a hundredfold on it. And so you got a bank account in heaven as a tither and a giver because you got a covenant. And we always got to remember it's God that gives us his power to get wealth. It's his goodness and his grace, praise God. Let's pray over those tithes and offerings. Lord, we just come before you, Lord. You say, given it should be given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall mean given our bosom. For the same measure we meet with all, it should be measured to us again. Beloved, I pray above all things, may prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. I'm believing with them for at least a hundredfold return. Start off as a hundredfold. Bible says a thousandfold. If you can believe, Jesus said, all things pops to those who believe. So I'm believing for the million and billionfold, Lord. And I'm in agreement, Lord, where each and every person that will come back to them. You said you multiply it. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you said you multiply it to us. Multiply it back to the giver, Lord. And we thank you for multiplying it back to us. We thank you, Lord, as tithers that are all of our stuff is protected. The devil won't mess with it, and it's washed out for it. And we thank you for it. You rebuke the devourer for touching our stuff. And we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, man, you can pick that up, please. Well, they're picking that up. 2016 is the year of the great breaking loose. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're ready to break loose to Jesus. We're ready for the miracles. Glory to God. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. I hadn't talked about it much, but the Monday, Monica and I are going to Southwest Believers Convention Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I don't know why I'm hitting this thing. I wish I had a gavel. I need a gavel. Anyway, well, July 1st is on a... She thought that's funny. I've at least got somebody laugh at me. July 1st is a Friday. The 2nd and 3rd is Saturday and Sunday. Monday is the 4th. We're going to be in Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, praise God, getting charged back up, hallelujah. So we won't have no Monday night recovery there. And I might get someone to fill in for me on Wednesday night because we won't get back till late Wednesday night on the, I guess that's the 6th and everything. But praise God. All right, Monica, come on up. You need me to get you some scriptures up there? Hallelujah. I'll try to work on it. Go ahead.
Did you turn it on?
Huh? Yeah.
Amen. Well, welcome to the Wednesday night edition of Voice of Believers Church. Good to see everyone's faces. Praise God. I'm excited. How about y'all?
I'm excited.
I went to the jail last night. And
you were in jail last night?
I went to the jail and they let me out. They locked me in, but they let me out. And we had a bunch of them. And we had this one tall girl, tall. And she's been giving me a hard time the last few times, you know, just kind of wanting to argue. And finally, last time, I said, you know, you're welcome here, but I'm not going to argue. If you're going to argue, I'm going to call the jailer. She was like, I can't believe you called me out. Well, I don't need to be here. And I said, well, you don't have to be like that, but I'm just not going to argue. And she said, well, she called the jailer. Get me out of here. I don't want nothing to do with this. But you know what? Last night she came. She was humble and never made a sound. And I'm going to tell her how proud I am of her. You know, it's so wonderful to see when God has an effect. I guess you're waiting to be released. Youth and children are released. Amen. Thank you. What? No, you can go over there. It'll be all right. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. And you can finish the rest of your ice cream. Okay? Well, Lord, just help her. Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll be okay. If you need help, my daughter's back there, Danielle. She'll help you out, okay? Praise God. Oh, I'm glad she felt comfortable enough to come to me. Praise God. Well, I'm going to talk. I'm excited. This is a series I've been wanting to start for a while, and God finally gave me the okay. And can America be saved? Can America be saved? This is serious. So I'm going to pray. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You said to study to show yourself approved, and I did. But, Father God, just anoint me now, Lord. Let it be you that we hear from. We need to hear from you. This is a time and a season that we need to hear from you. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that since we're asking, we're going to receive it, Lord. I'm asking for supernatural understanding because you said when we understand, we would be healed. I'm also asking, Lord, according to your word, that you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'm expecting that we're going to leave here encouraged, set free, healed, and delivered in every way. And Satan, I bind you from operating against this message, causing any distractions. You get out of here in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen. Amen. Well, this is just going to be the introduction. Can America be saved? And I'm going to start out with the first great awakening. Now, the first great awakening really had it started in about 1600s when they were coming out of the dark ages. Isn't that a good thing to come out of the darkness? It sure is. And then it gathered momentum in the 1700s, and finally to full fruition in about the 1730s. And then we had a second great awakening that went all the way to the 1800s. You know, what was the condition of the body of Christ at that time? What was the condition of the people in the colonies and even in England? Because the colonies were English. They were part of the British Empire at that time. Well, in the colonies, there was a disregard for the Sabbath day. There was the neglecting of families, disobedience to parents, sounded like the end time back then, greediness, sensuality, hatred, and mistrust of each other. And there was even homosexuality, especially in France. And it was leaking to England and leaking to the colonies. So it looked like the end times to them too. Amen. And in fact, George Whitefield said the Christians were in a dead sleep. And others who wrote about that time said that they were shocked at the deadness of the church. Well, what was the moral condition of society in English? You know, with the king and the nobles and the politicians back then were called statesmen. But I'll tell you, most of them were unbelievers. Most of them were immoral, grossly immoral, terribly immoral. There was drunkenness and foul language was normal for a prime minister. That's pretty bad. They had mistresses, all of them, and they would go out in public with them. In fact, you know, if you were a common person, you would try and get your daughter into one of those schools, train them to be a mistress. Yes. They had productions that were just, you know, fleshly thrills and seduction. There was a joke that was common back then, you know, among the high society, polite society. Let's just take the not out of the Ten Commandments. Instead of thou shalt not, that was their saying, their motto. Yep. And the common people were gripped by the addiction to gin. Gin was the thing back then. There was mobs of drunken people who would rampage. They would gouge out victims' eyes. They would burn things, pillaging. It was not safe to go in the streets in London and in England, in the cities. And the stage, especially the ones where the king and the nobles went, there was obscenity and nudity. It was live. The cruelty to animals and children were normal. You would see it on a regular basis. It was hard. The slums were even worse. Parents were selling their children into brothels if they couldn't get their daughters into the be a mistress schools. It was wicked, drunken, misery, and crime. And the prisons were even worse. You know, back then they would throw the whole family into prison for being poor. If the women went to prison, the children would go with them. And the rats, you know, some rats would eat on them. It was terrible. Christians, evangelical Christians were thrown into prison just for being evangelical Christians, for pointing out, hey, this is wrong. So they throw them in prison. Well, America was a little bit different. It wasn't quite that bad at that time, you know, because they were settled by religious people, pious people. But the churches were getting empty. And because the influence of the English society started creeping in, because it was, you know, normal to go back and forth. You know, there was gambling and drinking, and people started mocking the church, mocking God, and mocking the Word of God. But I'll tell you, the Great Awakening changed all that. It changed England and prepared the colonies to war against tyranny, is what that did. Isn't that good? And you know what the message was? The main message was you have to be born again, and we want to live by the Word of God because God has better plans for us than this. Doesn't that sound familiar? Yes, it does. And guess what? They became hungry for a better life. And they started getting born again, and they started studying the Word. And they stopped fighting, you know, because it was common to have those duels, you know, those sword fight duels. Drunkenness started leaving the colonies. Uncleanliness started leaving. And they started singing praises to God and started filling the churches again. Isn't that good? And you know what else came out of that? There was movements to end slavery came out of that. There was movements to help the poor and the orphans. There was movements for better treatment of the insane and better conditions of the prisons. Sunday schools started. That's what the Sunday schools came from, so that people could be taught the Word of God. Colleges were built at that time so people could be taught the Word of God. That's what came out of the First Great Awakening. People became hungry to be free in every part of life. And that's where that hunger came, to be free from oppression and tyranny. It came from the Word of God. You know what? They saw God's plan and saw this is how we're supposed to live. And not the other way. Isn't that good? And the Great Awakening saved England from ending up like the French Revolution, because they had a revolution too, but they rejected God. And it got wild. And it led America to undertake a revolution, a godly revolution. Well, I have a question. Why do we look back in history? You know, why do we concern ourselves with these? Because we are told to do so in the Word of God. God told the people of Israel to remember the great things he had done. Amen? Those times that he delivered them. He said, remember those times when I told you to put the blood of the lamb on the doorways, when that spirit of death was able to pass you by, when the firstborn of Egypt were killed. Remember the time when I delivered your whole nation out of Egypt. Isn't that good? He said, I want you to remember that time when Haman tried to destroy your whole nation, but the queen had everyone, Queen Esther had everyone pray and fast for 3 days. I worked on the king's heart, and you were able to defend yourselves, and you got delivered. God wants us to remember those times, praise God. Isn't that good? And God does not want us to despair in our present trouble. We are to encourage ourselves by looking back in history at all those times that God intervened and helped his people. Because I'll tell you, they erased God out of history these days. But see, all of history shows up the goodness of God. Isn't that good? And we're going to look at that in this series. Because we are to look to God for help and wisdom and deliverance. Isn't that good? And we can. I'll tell you, I want to show this picture. The Founding Fathers, they had a flag called an appeal to heaven. That's what it looked like. An appeal to heaven. John Locke wrote that citizens who exhausted all appeals to unjust leaders can still appeal to heaven. He said, when there is no other way, when we've done all we can humanly do, you can still appeal to heaven. Well, George Washington, who was then the commander-in-chief of the Continental Navy, he took it and put it on a flag and flew it over all the naval ships. And it was the slogan, appeal to heaven. And it spread throughout the colonies, and it became like a battle cry of the nation. Isn't that cool? Amen. And the reason it's a white pine tree is because that was what was commonly used to make ships and everything. And it was common for them to plant them along their driveways and, you know, everywhere. And then the British said they passed some law that they can take as much of their trees as they wanted, and that kind of made them mad. So that was the reason they chose the tree for that. Yep. See, here's another flag, an appeal to heaven. And this is a scripture that they used. It's 2 Corinthians 8:21. Can you read that? For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. They wanted to live honorably. They wanted the freedom to live honorably and please the Lord. And see, America's first settlers, the very first settlers, before they even built Jamestown, the first thing they did as soon as they got off the ship and hit the beach, they made a covenant with God. And then they planted a cross on the beach in Virginia. And God took that very seriously. He did. And then the Pilgrims and the Puritans came. And I'll tell you, they came all the way across dangerous seas to live in a dangerous land, because at the time it was dangerous, to live specifically in a covenant with God, to serve him, to be the shining city on a hill, and to teach their children to serve him. We need to remember that. We need to remember who we were and who we are. We need to remember the price that they paid for our freedoms. And they had received a vision from God of God's way of living. God has plans for this nation, and they received that vision. We need to go back and discover what that vision was, what it's supposed to look like. Amen? And we need to wake up to the fact that we have a covenant with God as a Christian nation. Isn't that good? That's exciting to me. We are not to be discouraged, but we do have to make a decision. We have to make the decision to go back and find out what that vision was. And then we need to let that vision be a guide for us as we pray it, confess it, speak it out, and then act on it. Amen? You know, because God had given our founders a vision. And there was a direct connection between the first Great Awakening and our founding fathers. And you know what it was? It was seeds of liberty, seeds of God's plan and his vision were planted in their hearts and minds. So we need to plant those same seeds in our hearts and minds and plant them in our nation. And guess what? Those seeds will grow. They're already starting to grow. Amen? We're not the only one doing this right now. There's Cornerstone is doing this. First Baptist is doing this. Churches all over the city, all over the nation, in every state is doing this and trying to find out what the vision was. Isn't that exciting? To me, that is so exciting because God is stirring us up. He wants to do something great for us. He wants us to remember we have a covenant. Because the truth is, right now, if we don't do nothing, our nation is already ruined. America has been ruined, completely ruined. If the Christian just gives up, doesn't pray, just continues living in the world, it's ruined. And I'll tell you what, the world is dark. We see it, don't we? It's dark. And this time it'll take over the whole world, although it has taken over the world before, but it's completely the world. If we don't, the Christian, the body of Christ, don't stand up and get that vision from God and go with it. That's the only thing that can stop it. So today, we're at a crossroads. We have a decision to make. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30:15. Now listen. Today, I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. Because his way is the blessed way, to live blessed even in the middle of all this. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land that you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. We've seen that before, haven't we? Yep. You will not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice. Between life and death, between blessings and cursings, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. That way we can't say we didn't know. Right? Now, oh, that you would choose life. He says, choose life. God doesn't want us to be destroyed. So that you and your descendants might live, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the key, isn't that? Are we going to choose God's way, or are we going to stick with the world's? I've had enough with the world's way. You know, the world's way is being run by the enemy, and it's oppressive. And it will destroy. It's evil. It will destroy everyone. Every single. So we have to choose once and for all. We're going with God's plan. And we have to be committed to it. I know that's the way I'm going. But look at this. We have a promise. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. I love this. If my people, he's not talking about the world. If my he invites everyone to be his people. But it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Isn't that good? Amen. Well, Martin Luther King Jr., one day he was praying for the nation because he saw some conditions and that was bad. And so he prayed, and this is the answer that he heard in his spirit. He said, stand up for righteousness, stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and I will be with you even until the end of the world. And guess what? God was with him, and he will be with us. If we will stand up for righteousness and stand up for justice and stand up for the truth, God will be with us. He always stands with the truth. Isn't that true? And one person can make a difference. How much if it's the body of Christ standing up together, right? Here's some examples of people that have made a difference. We need to look back and say, we can do this. Look at Noah. Him and his family, the whole world was destroyed, but they made it. How? By following God's plan. Look at Abraham. He was able to have a whole nation named after him because he followed God's plan. Look at Joseph. He ended up in prison. You know, he was locked up, threw away the key for doing the right thing, but he stuck with the plan. He did not reject God. He stuck with the plan. And guess what? One day he was in prison, the next he was in the palace. Right? Look at Gideon. He was able to rescue his people by following the plan of God. Esther was able to save her people by following the plan of God. What about Jesus? He followed the plan of God and saved all of us, the whole world. Right? George Washington followed the plan of God. Martin Luther King Jr. made a difference, didn't he? Winston Churchill made a difference. Abraham Lincoln is a history maker. Paul, the apostle, made history. But guess what? So did Adolf Hitler. Look at Martin Luther. He's the one who started all. And the thing is, he didn't know he was doing anything great. All he did was stand up for the truth under pressure, and it changed the world. It got them out of darkness, out of the dark ages. But look at what Karl Marx did and Charles Darwin. You know, but look at what Sir Isaac Newton did. Queen Victoria. Even Helen Keller, blind and deaf, she made history, didn't she? Right? And Christopher Columbus, you know? And our founders, their whole generation experienced the Great Awakening, and look what they were able to do. They were able to get that vision of God and apply it and see it in our nation. Isn't that good? Well, that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that we're going to be the next generation that's going to get that vision from God and see it come to pass in our nation. That's what I'm praying and believing for. Let's look at our Proverbs 29:18. It says this. Make it bigger. When there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instructions. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. When there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Here's another version. When there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Without revelation, people run wild, but one who listens to instruction will be happy. So So we need to find out what that vision is, and we're going to explore it and find out what that vision is, what it's supposed to look like, because guess what? We've been brainwashed for a long time, and so we're used to it now. We're used to seeing all this. We don't even know what it's supposed to be like anymore, and so it's hard to fight something when we don't even know what it's supposed to be like. Isn't that true? And so we're going to explore that and find out what God's plans are for this nation. Because we know what the devil's plans are. They're telling us all the time what they're planning. Isn't it true? Amen. So we're going to have the very plans of God to guide us. And Christians all over the nation are going after the same thing. And you know why? Because God has heard our prayers. He has heard our prayers. And guess what? Now is the time to start getting that vision and putting it into action. And I'm excited. Are you with me? Oh, amen. And so we have to continue to seek it out. But the thing is we have to make the decision not to look at the giants. Do you remember when they had to go into the promised land and they saw the giants and they were too scared to go in? They had to wait 40 years. The only two people out of a million made it into the promised land because they were scared of the giants. And they were giant. It is scary. But we don't have to look at how big and powerful they are. We just look at the promises of God and what he has done before. Amen? And look what he did. Even our founders, they were not the majority. They were not the majority, and yet look what they were able to do because they trusted in God's help. And they had to go up against the greatest navy in the world, and yet they won. So we can do the same thing. We have to just not look at the problem, focus on the promise, and keep our eyes on the promise. Amen? Because he promised that he would do it. And guess what? We can still turn this thing around. I want us to look at some scriptures. Jeremiah 33:3. And it says this, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. He's going to give us revelations and plans that he has hidden in the Word of God. Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Isn't that good promises? Here's some more versions. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And the hidden things that you don't know. Now I want us to look at some, I'm just going to look at some scriptures and then we'll pray. But the next scripture is Matthew 6:33. These are just some guidelines before we get into the vision that will keep us on the right path for healing in our nation. And the first one is Matthew 6:33. It says, seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, which is his way of doing and being right. And that's by faith. And then all these things taken together will be given to you. That's a promise. Isn't that good? And then I want to look at Jeremiah 1:10. I really like this one. Jeremiah 1:10 says this. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, and others you must build up and plant. And I've been using this to pray. I've been using it, Lord, based on this, by faith, I'm praying, Lord, that Satan's kingdom will be uprooted and torn down, destroyed and overthrown in our homes, in our cities, and in our nation, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I plant and build up your kingdom in our cities and in our nation. Isn't that good? And then I want us to look at Matthew 18:18. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That means God will back up whatever we bind up here. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Or another version, I tell the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. That means God's going to be working with us. We need to be forbidden some abortion stuff and some human trafficking stuff, and then loosing the word of God, loosing the justice of God, the truth of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Amen. And then I want to look at Luke 10:17. I like this. Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. We're heaven bound, and we have power and authority. Amen? That's good news. And then I want us to look at Isaiah 49. And I can't read my writing. I don't know if it's 23 or 24. 23. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. And I love this. Who can snatch the plunder of war from the hands of a warrior? Who can demand that a tyrant let his captives go? But the Lord says the captives of warriors will be released, and the plunder of tyrants will be released, will be retrieved. The plunder of tyrants will be retrieved, and I'll fight, for I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. That includes our children that are being oppressed and lied to in the school system. Right? And stuck in this terrible system where debt is just getting out of control. Amen? And then I want us to look at Isaiah 33, verse 22. Oh, I like this. Let me make it a little bigger. Is that better? For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king, and he will care for us and save us, and the enemy's sails hang loose on broken masts with useless tackle, and their treasure will be divided by the people of God. Even the lame will take their share. Isn't that good? Amen. And then Isaiah 59:21. I'm almost done. And this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words that I have given you. Isn't that good? They will be on your lips and the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now that's a pretty good promise. That means we have power. And then I want to look at see where I'm at. Okay. Proverbs 11:21. Assuredly, I pledge it, the wicked shall not go unpunished, but the multitude of the uncompromisingly righteous shall be delivered. That's right. And I like this version too. I found it in one of my confessions. And it says this. I love this one. Let me make it bigger. Oh, that's too big. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the children of the righteous will be delivered, rescued, released, and escape. Even though they join forces, praise God. And then I want to look, two more, and I'll be done. Psalms 112:1-4. And this always makes me think of the founding fathers, their whole generation, most of them, not all, but most. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. That makes me think of the founding fathers. They left us a pretty good. And then the last one is Isaiah 54 verse 13. And this is a promise we can stand on. I will teach all your children. That's why we need the word of God in our schools. I will teach all your children, and they will enjoy great peace. So peace will come. You will be secure under a government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away. You will live in peace, and terror will not come near you. If any nation comes to fight you, it's not because I sent them. So whoever attacks you will go down in defeat. Isn't that good? So are we ready? Amen. Well, I'm going to pray. Well, Father God, we just thankful, Lord, that you have not forgotten us. You have not washed your hands of us. We just thank you that we can come to you because we have a covenant of promises that says when we turn to you, turn from our wicked ways and seek you, you will hear us. You will forgive us and you will heal our land. And not only that, but Lord, you will give us a vision. You will guide and direct us. You will destroy the enemy, Lord. You'll give us the plans we need to succeed and to get free from all oppression. So I pray, Father, as we get into this and as we study of how to get free and what your plans were for this nation, that you would guide each one of us, Father God. You would give us ideas on what we can pray, what we can say, what we can declare, and what we can do. And we pray, Lord, along with our brothers and sisters all over this nation, Lord, that we will learn this together and that you will lead us out of oppression. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we count on you. We appeal to heaven is our battle cry, our appeal to heaven, because they're not listening to us. They've already made up. In fact, they're talking about taking away our arms, taking away our guns, leave us defenseless. So we appeal to heaven, Father God, and we just thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you will help us. You will give us the wisdom. You will give us the help we need. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. And if there's any of you that are listening to this, you got a CD or you're listening to this on our website, and you don't know if you know Jesus, it's real easy because we all need to be born again. We were all born into sin because of Satan, and we all need to be born again out of darkness into the light of Jesus' kingdom. And all you have to do is ask him into your heart, ask him to forgive you because he paid the price for each one of our sins because all have sinned. But all who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And guess what? He died, but he's risen again. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for you. And so just pray and ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, and he will do it. And we would love to hear from you. We're at voiceofbelieverschurch.org. We're also on Facebook. And Lord, I just release us now, full of your power, full of your spirit, with the promise. The blessing. I thank you. You said we're blessed going in and blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed whatever we put our hand to because you go with us. I thank you. No sickness or disease shall come near our dwelling, but you'll satisfy us with a long life and show us your salvation. So we go out of here armed and dangerous with the gospel of peace, ready to make a difference within the world around us, Father God. We thank you in Jesus' name, and all who agree say amen. Amen. We are released. If anyone needs any prayer.